sign up for the SD Expo mailing list to receive conference updates and the 2006 conference catalog. Go to www.sdexpo.com.
Hello, world, and welcome to Ask Udi, the podcast where listeners get their questions on SOA and web services answered. This is your host, Udi Dahan, bringing you the cold hard facts you need to make decisions about SOA. I am the software simplest, helping you keep it simple. This podcast is brought to you exclusively by Dr. Dobbs Journal, leading the computer press in covering practical technology, languages, platforms, and tools, online at www.ddj.com. Also, don't forget to visit my blog, www.udidahan.com. That's UDIDAHAN.com for more information. Well, this week we have a whole boatload of questions coming in from a bunch of readers as a result of my recent article in the Microsoft Architect Journal. And the article is on autonomous services and enterprise entity aggregation. And first of all, we'll start with Per, I hope I pronounced that right, who has a number of questions. And the first one, which seems to be coming up a lot, is this one. On page 11, it says, when services interaction is asynchronous, we avoid changing data in other services altogether, so there is no need to have transactions cross service boundaries. It seems that you are mixing PubSub with asynchronous messaging in general. It is quite possible to send an asynchronous update message to another system and then handle the returned error messages as exceptions, isn't it? Now, before I answer that question, I wanted to give the rest of the listeners that maybe haven't had a chance to read the article yet some background. The case that we're describing here is two services that are communicating with each other, service A and service B, where service B is providing information to service A. And in the synchronous kind of communication, service A, whenever it needs to do something with information that service B is in charge of, it goes and gets information from service B and does something to it internally and finishes that way. And in the article, I describe another way, which is more asynchronous, where service B publishes its information on a regular basis or as a result of changes to service A and to other subscribers as is necessary. And service A, in this case, stores or caches the relevant data inside it. And whenever it receives a request that pertains to that data, it doesn't need to communicate with service B anymore to get at that data. It just makes the local changes as necessary. Okay, so that's the context. Now, back to the question. The question was, is it possible to send asynchronous messages to another system without necessarily using PubSub? Obviously, yes. And to the handling of error messages as exceptions. Well, exceptions are a platform-specific issue. I mean, if you have Jeff on one side, .NET on the other side, Corb on one side, PHP on another side, you can't really expect everybody to be implementing exceptions in the same way. So at the wire level or at the protocol level, you really do have to discuss things as error messages. If a given system or a given platform, when it receives an error message, would choose to represent it to the application layer as an exception, you know, that's its own business. Personally, I'm against that because I really don't think that these are exceptional cases. This is really just a part of the protocol. Going from this to your second question, Per, I really wanted to deal with the whole issue of data replication. Actually, in that same issue of the Architect Journal, there was another article on SOA as an anti-pattern in that it leads to data duplication. Now, in my article, I also dealt with that. But Per's question specifically is this. On page 12, it says, at first glance, it appears that the use of PubSub communications leads to data duplication between services similar to what happens when actually doing data replication. He is referring to the data replication and the ETL that we all know and may possibly love or may not. Per goes on to ask, I think it is safe to say that it actually does lead to data duplication. granted that it is governed by passing different business logic layers, but the data is still duplicated, isn't it? There is a distinct possibility that the receiving system publishes this duplicated information to another service, quite similar to the anti-pattern discussed further. Okay, on the whole issue of data duplication and replication in light of SOA, or in the more general pub-sub type of communication. First of all, we really need to make it clear that when you publish data or when you send data out into the world, anybody can do with that data whatever they want, which is why it's important for architects to pay attention to these things, to make sure that there is a clear demarcation of responsibilities in terms of data and processes and behavior between services. You don't want multiple services or multiple service instances, I've heard that term as well, to be dealing with or to be responsible for the same data. So that's number one. Number two, it is perfectly all right to send this data out to a number of other services and for those services to cache the data. Okay, nobody's saying it isn't. Makes perfect sense, at the very least at a performance level. The next step up goes into the whole volatility issue. There is some data which is quite volatile, in which case that would probably be data which is a poor candidate for publishing every time something changes. So we may want to do that on a certain schedule, say once a second, once a minute, once an hour, whatever, depending on the data volatility. There are certain data that we may just choose not to publish, and that if another service requires it, it would actually have to go and ask for it. Now, data duplication, from the word to actually duplicate it, in other words, it is really the same data, the exact same data that is stored in two locations, not only two locations, two distinct services. I don't actually see that happening that much. Each service, when it gets data, whether it's responsible for that data or whether it is just utilizing data that it received from a recent publish, it stores the data that it needs in the format that it needs. It may split it up into a whole different table structure in the database. It may not even have a database. It may just keep the data in memory. It has several business rules that may act on that data. So I really don't see much of a case for being worried about having the same data in multiple locations, because I don't think beyond seeing the actual ints, floats, and doubles and strings popping up in a couple of locations, the actual structure would be quite different between services, because again, each service is responsible for an entirely different topic. So that's really the main difference from the data duplication / replication anti-pattern that is discussed in the journal in a separate article, and what I'm proposing for SOA. When we're talking about data replication, in many cases we're talking about ETL tools working at the database level, pretty much acting as a backdoor into the service, reaching in, grabbing the data, munging it, and sticking it into another service's storage. So there really is no view of autonomous services there. Each service is really just, you know, entirely wide open for what the ETL tools will shove in there. So that is definitely an anti-pattern. However, the whole pub-sub thing is a totally different style of behavior. Okay. Next question, Per. Good going. Keep it coming. On page 15, it says, services may seem to be the new unit of reuse in the enterprise, but this does not comply with the tenet of autonomy, not to mention that the constraints on how we interact with the service make it distasteful. Even though I personally am very skeptical to reuse arguments in general, Per says, this seems a bit strong to swallow. Reuse has been touted as the major argument for SOA since day one, and a lot of business executives are accepting large upfront investments in SOA because they hope to later harvest the reuse returns. This is something that I talked about, I think, in podcast number one on the whole object-oriented versus SOA debate. Reuse has been sold and resold so many times, I'm surprised that anybody buys it still. Object orientation was supposed to be the big reuse thing, number one. And it was sold to the business, and it didn't really make do on it, because we don't reuse objects that much. We use them. And the same thing was said for components. We're not reusing the components, we're just using them. And once again, I see the whole thing happening with services. Reuse, I read in a recent blog post, could probably be best described as repurposing something in a different context. For instance, we may take an empty pop can and reuse it by mashing it down and melting it into a lump of aluminum and using that somewhere else. That is reuse. Using it would simply be stacking pop cans or something. So in the view of services, I see us using services and not reusing them. Again, this really gets into how easy it is to use a service or reuse a service in, again, all the hype that's really been out there when it comes to SOA. A lot of the reuse is sold in terms of very small, highly granular services which are orchestrated or rewired together in a number of different ways. And that is really what is good about SOA, that this is supposed to be the way that things are supposed to be built. I couldn't disagree more. I've been disagreeing about it since day one. Business people, if you are listening, why do you even care about reuse? You should be looking at value more than cost. The whole issue of this SOA jungle that's really been out there with all the competing vendor platforms and products, you should be focused on the value. Why should we be doing this whole big thing if it all it leads to is some sort of reuse scenario of services instead of just the components that the techies have been doing all this time? So, Per, on the business level, I really wouldn't be going to any business executives and saying reuse is going to be the big deal about SOA, specifically if they have any memory of the times that we came to them and said, it's component orientation or it's object orientation that's going to give you the value that you want by reuse. And reuse is really a focus on costs, in that, okay, we've spent this amount of money in developing a service, now we're going to reuse it. We're not going to redevelop it again. So I don't really see that at a technical level. We could take a view of it at a governance level. But this is really true for what's been going on with component orientation and object orientation and just project portfolio management. Before the business is going to put up any money to finance any IT project, they're going to want to know what value it's going to bring, if there are existing assets that can be used. So really, SOA brings nothing new to the table in terms of the whole governance issue. Putting up a registry or a repository where you put all the data and metadata about services, that's just good practice, good project management practice, regardless of SOA. It's true for entire applications, it's true for components, it's true for frameworks, it's true for just about anything. So I don't really see SOA bringing anything new to the table there. Okay, let's end with Per's parting words. Apart from these objections, I totally agree that asynchronous communication in general, and especially PubSub, is a good thing, and that loose coupling should be considered not only in the logical dimension, but also in the runtime. Thanks again for an interesting read. Best regards, Per. Well, Per, thank you very much. Those kind words do mean a lot to me. And if you do have any more questions about the article or other articles that I've written, please don't hesitate to send them to blog, that's blog, at udidahan.com. That's udidahan.com. So, that wraps it up for this week. If there are any other questions that any of the listeners do have, please feel free. Don't hesitate. I know that I've been getting a bit behind on my email, but I will get it down in the next couple of days. So thanks a lot for listening. I hope that clears up the whole autonomous services issue that's been popping up a lot. Until next week then, keep it simple. Bye-bye.
Sign up for the SD Expo mailing list to receive conference updates and the 2006 conference catalog. Go to www.sdexpo.com.